Thank you for calling Basilico's Pasta e Vino. As you may know, we have been recently featured in the press, and with great appreciation have been receiving an overwhelming show of support by the community and even from across the state and country. So if you're calling to place an order or express your support for our position, please hold or leave a voicemail. If you're calling to place a death threat, please press 2 and leave your name, number, and address so our cousin Guido and his crew can pay you a visit. Thank you.
Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. Thanks for being with us again. I really appreciate it. And I want to share with you some things with an inspiring guest tonight. But to remind you, any new listeners or anything, if you're coming to us for the first time, we've got this problem going on in America and in most of the countries around the world in various forms right now. And we've got a small group, very small group at the top of controllers trying to implement a plan that they've been working on for longer than you would believe, probably. And they think that this is the end game now. And one of the things they're doing is that in about earlier than 2015, but by then and in 2017 and 18, 19, they started announcing what they were going to do, which there are reasons that they do that, of course, and we might have time to get into that. But they said they were going to engineer a pandemic. And when Dr. Fauci was talking, right when Trump was about to be in office, he said there would be a surprise. Obviously, he knew about it, or else he couldn't announce it. And there would be a surprise pandemic. And there was no question that it was going to be happening. And they had several exercises they ran through that simulated exactly how they were going to do it, including the public relations, what they would do on TV, issues with a vaccine, how the vaccine would be promoted, what to do against people who resisted it, about the masks. Everything was pre-announced. And they were going to do it with a test that didn't test for anything, so it could be manipulated to create any positive or negative result they wanted. And that's what they ended up doing. And even with the announcements that most people didn't pay any attention to, they just went ahead and most of America and the world followed it. That's what we're in the middle of right now. And we're at a turning point that is rapidly evolving into what will determine what kind of an age we move into, whether it's light or dark, because those are the two forces that are really behind what's going on. And there are people that have become valuable points of inspiration in this whole adventure because they haven't lost the original spirit of who they are, of freedom, of humanity, of life. And one of those is with us tonight, one of the best ones that I know of that can help jar us all out of complacency and remind us who we are and that this isn't really a problem provided we get our consciousness back. And that's our friend Tony Roman. So thank you, Tony. I know it's really a busy schedule for you all the time, and I really value your being here. So thank you.
And I'm honored to be here with you and all the patriots that are tuned in, watching and listening, and appreciate the time that you're giving me.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, America is a major target in this global program right now, and there's a reason for that. It's the only country that I know of that was founded on principles of individual freedom, not the fake greater good that the government can misuse, but individual freedom. As long as you don't intentionally cause pain or trespass on the rights of other people, you can live however you want. And apparently we've forgotten that thanks to decades of fake education and criminal media in this country. And the question is, can we wake up before the damage goes further? And so what's your outlook on that?
That's a good point. I think that people have been so so selfish in terms of just paying attention to their own interests and following their own pursuit and their own pleasures instead of having in their heart love for something bigger than themselves, which is, you know, which is America, United States of America. It's the most blessed nation, you know, on earth. And when you talk about our freedoms, you know, when people talk about the Constitution was gifted to us to protect our God-given freedoms. Right. So it's our God-given freedoms first. And I tell people all the time that ask me, you know, how come people don't have the same courage or are doing the same things that I'm doing. And I think it's because they only think about themselves first. They don't think about making the sacrifices needed for something bigger than themselves. Yesterday, for example, I was at the Orange County Board of Supervisors in California. It was all over the news, and I was asked to come down and just show my support, you know, for what was going on there. And, you know, I tried to do my best to make all these events, and I showed up and I looked around and I saw hundreds and hundreds of people, if not a thousand, at least a thousand, maybe even over a thousand that were there waving their flags and everything else. And I thought to myself, the reason why we had to take the day off on a Tuesday and do this and try to push these people back from trying to push this vaccine agenda, this mandatory vaccine agenda and passports and everything else, is because for so long people have ignored the encroachment that's been going on for over 200 years, you know. Mm-hmm. People have just looked the other way and said, oh, it's okay, it's just this, it's just that. Give them another inch, give them another foot, you know, give them another yard, give them 100 yards. You know, before you know it, they take 1,000 miles or 1,000,000 miles. Right. So I told the people there, it's all of your fault that this has happened, that you have to be here on Tuesday to fight this stuff. And in this battle for our freedoms, you cannot give an inch. And that's what our story is. We don't give an inch.
Tony, what was, just for the people that may not know about it, what was going on that day at the Board of Supervisors meeting?
Yeah, they were voting on making vaccine records. I think it was. It's very convoluted at this point because they keep trying to feign one way or the other and mm-hmm. making the opponents believe that they have a victory when they push the pause button. And they kind of shift gears, left and right. So at this point, it's just, I think whatever their plans are, we have to stop them, and we have to drive them off the cliff and out of existence, you know? So I tell people to be careful claiming victory when they push a pause button or they indicate, you know what, we're going to back off for right now. Right. And then overall though, they still gain ground, you know? So the only victory is unconditional victory.
Yeah.
Complete surrender from the other side. And that's how we have to fight. We have to just wipe them from the face of the earth in terms of their ideas.
So an example of what you're talking about, just to make it concrete, is like with the mask mandates, right?
Yeah. I mean, the mask mandates for us, you know, if you want, I can tell you my story.
That would be great.
Yeah. So for us, when I first heard of the lockdowns that were happening in China, and the first thought that came to mind was, in China they do that sort of thing. That's what they do there,
right?
And you know, if the citizens accept it, they have to deal with it. It's sad to see, but it happens there. And then I first heard that it was going to happen in San Francisco. I think that was the first city in America that was going to shut down.
Well, and when you say it, what, this is what they do in China. What did they do in China?
Oh, lock down their citizens whenever they feel like it. You know. Put their.
I mean, they
their
welded
necks.
People inside their apartment buildings.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, none of it's a shocking to me.
Yeah.
But in America, it is. So when I heard that was going to happen in San Francisco, again, I was angry because it was an American city.
Right.
But at the same time, I thought to myself, people in San Francisco, there's not a communist policy they don't love.
Yeah.
But I was greatly saddened by it. But then when I heard it was going to happen statewide, when the person who I refer to as the tyrant, the tiny tyrant in Sacramento, I call him Gavin Pelosi. I don't even call him Gavin Newsom. Gavin Pelosi. When he stated that he was going to shut down on March 19th, I looked at my young crew, who I referred to as the good fellows of Basilico's. You know, we're Italian restaurants, so I refer to them as that. They're young guys in their late teens, early 20s, late 20s, early 30s. I looked at them and said, look, we're not shutting anything down. We are going to put everything at risk in this fight because, basically I'm being blessed right now to be put on the front lines of this battle. And these tiny tyrants and their mini Gestapo in this war, normally it's the soldiers that go off and fight. But in this war, they're targeting small business owners as the enemy. So it's our obligation to be the soldiers in this fight. So I told them, we're going to convert our business into a constitutional battleground, and we're going to wage war on them. And, you know, they looked at me at first and I thought I was crazy. I said, Tony, you know, you're going to lose your business. You're going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. I didn't think about the business for a second. I was excited to do it. I said, look, I'm making it clear. We may never get a customer in here ever again, but we are going to stand tall. We're going to stand proud. And we're going to use our business as a way to fight them. And we're going to set an example. So the first thing I did was I hung a flag in front of our business. It says, live free or die. Don't tread on me flag. That was a signal to the community that we were going to fight.
Yeah.
And from there, I mean, the hatred and the threats, people wanting to, you know, I mean, it just came raining down. The incoming fire came from everywhere.
So who was behind that? I mean, why were people doing that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who want to see exactly what's happen. You know, there's a lot of people on that side of the fence that have been dreaming for a day like this. So, you know, a benefit of what's happened is that you now get to see who the enemies are. You know, you get to see who's shooting at you. So for us, you know, when I banned the mask totally, because you can't even stand within, you know, 20 yards of the patio will throw you off. And if you try walking in with a mask, we'll not only tell you to take it off, but if they pull it off and it's dangling off their ear, we tell them it needs to come all the way off. And when they hold in their hand, we say, no, throw it in the trash, put it in your purse, stick it in your pocket. We don't want to see any remnants of the lockdown inside our business ever. Yeah. We've had zero restrictions always, no hand sanitizer, no social distancing. We banned masks and we did it publicly. So we proudly fought our fight. We taunted, you know, we taunted the tyrants. We've mocked them. We shamed them. We do it openly. We don't, you know, we don't hide behind tinted windows or a side door, or, you know, we don't act like a, what do they call those bars in the old days? A speakeasy. We don't do any of that stuff. Right. Yeah. Because if you do that, you're playing the game, you know? So they need to know that their fate, they need to know that this time they banged on the wrong door. They walked, they stepped foot on the wrong territory this time, that they're going to be bullied. They're not going to bully us. So I pledged that I was never going to just resist, but I was going to attack the lockdowns. And we did so with our actions. Every time they hit at us, we punched them back with our actions 10 times harder. And you asked where the hate was coming from.
Yeah.
You know, I was threatened, you know, bullets in the back of my head. You know, people called almost every day threatening to kill me, burn the restaurant to the ground, spread the virus inside. We had 1-star reviews, posts of hate by the hundreds. We had phone calls by the hundreds every day.
The 1-star reviews make believe that your food was bad?
Yeah. I mean, that was coming from all over. And those reviews were coming from around the world. And
you
know, the phone ringing off the hook, you know, with threats. Then we had a criminal case against us. We had ABC violations, which is the Alcohol Beverage Control Board violations against us. We had sting operations on us. We had OSHA federal agents come by with a search warrant with the police. We stonewalled them. They didn't get in. We stonewalled everybody. We've stonewalled. There's no footprints of the enemy inside our business.
So they weren't willing to turn it into a second Waco, basically.
It's up to them.
You know? I mean, so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been standing tall now for, 14 months. I mean, since day one.
Yeah.
And I tried pleading with people, business owners around the world who would call me, you know, mostly around the nation, but a lot around the world too. A lot of them would drive down from all areas of California, even to sit down and talk with me and say, how are you doing this? Do you have good lawyers? Do you have politicians in your pocket? Are you in the mafia? People even ask me. It's like, no, you don't need any of that. You don't need lawyers. I don't have lawyers. Right. You know, you don't need lawyers to stand up and fight. In fact, lawyers, I would say fire them, because all they do is they try to talk you into complying, you know, and going soft.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, that's not going to happen.
So just for the people coming from a place of wanting to understand this whole thing so they know what they obviously need to do, let's tell people What is the supposed justification for these lockdowns, and what are they, and what are they supposed to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, when people come to me and say things, okay, I'll give you an example. I was at, you know, I go to these, you know, I go to these events, and people also come into the business and ask us to endorse this and endorse that and do this and do that. I'm very careful because I've kept my stand very pure and true. Mm-hmm. About freedom and liberty only, and that should apply to all Americans. I have people asking me to endorse them for, you know, for their campaigns. I ask people to endorse this you know, this movement and that one, and, right. And I'm careful because you know, because you can't you have to remember something. This is very, very important. I tell people this all the time. Don't use excuses to take your stand, such as people will hand me pamphlets and loopholes and laws and exemptions. Say, Tony, use this. Tony, use that. Use this. Use it. I say, get it out of my face. Because once you start using exemptions, you fall into the trap. You're then almost like you were in the former Soviet Union, where they stop you on the street and ask you for your papers, and you have to have an excuse. Right. So for me, I keep it simple. I keep it very, very simple. I say, I'm a free American. It's about freedom only. I'm honoring the founders of our country. I'm honoring our brave men and women of the military who defended our freedoms for 244 years. I tell people, when you feel fear, think about those men and women who have, over the course of our history, faced real bombs and bullets and given their lives. When you're afraid to lose a liquor license or a business license or citation or get fined, even if you're arrested, think about what they gave up. Then maybe you'll find the same courage that I have. But as far as, you know, the masks too, you know, when people say, you know, yeah, Tony, you're absolutely right, because the masks don't work. Or they say, yeah, you're absolutely right, Tony, what you're doing, because COVID is BS. You're missing the point. Whether those things work or not, or COVID is real or not, right? Or the virus is real or not, It doesn't matter, because whether they work, whether the virus was real or not, or the mask works or not, is not the point. Even if they were, right? Even
freedom
if they
is
were,
not convinced, it's not conditional.
That's right. It has no bearing on our freedoms at all. And there's nowhere in the Constitution where you see anywhere where it says your freedom are dependent on science, right? Never.
Or the ruler's not declaring an emergency at the moment.
That's right. So,
it's a difference between a free country and a slavery country.
That's it.
And if let's make it clear, in the sense that, imagine that this was a pandemic and Joe Biden was correct that 200 million Americans were already dead from it a few months ago, because he did say that on video. Mm-hmm. If that were true, that would make zero change in the stance, correct?
Exactly, because I think if I was, you know, look, I think if I was reckless, if there was something real, like let's go back 200 years, let's say it was smallpox, right, and there was a 60% chance of death, and people are, you know, dropping like flies all around you. If I'm operating a reckless business, I can understand where somebody would come in and talk to me and say, Tony, you know, you need to help us here, right? And you know, even in the past, when I've had employees that had the flu or a cold or anything, mm-hmm. I would send them home. That's what that's what a rational person does.
But you do it because you're intelligent, not because you're being forced to.
That's exactly it. That's exactly right. And if you want to be 100% safe, and it still doesn't guarantee you anything, let's say 99.9, stay home and don't go out and don't interact with anybody.
Right.
Right. And suit up in a moon suit.
For your whole life.
Have a shot. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But because you fear something, don't try to confine me and tell me how to live my life, you know?
Right. So that's a great point, that it doesn't matter that the pandemic is fake and that all the diagnoses are wrong, and it's irrelevant to what you're saying.
That's right. It takes you have to be careful not to engage. That's what they want you to do. They want to engage you. And then they want to grab you by the throat and drag you down the rabbit hole of this argument. That's why, for example, So what I've done is I've given them, I have, in the way I've taken my stand, I've given them no authority over me. And for example, when we had our court dates for the ABC violations, okay, the first time, the very first one I went to, because I wanted to see what a clown of a court it was. First thing I did was I was the first person ever to get into the building and into the courtroom without a mask, because I refused. They tried to stop me at the door with security guards and everything else. And I said, look, if you're not letting me in, we're going to have the court hearing in the parking lot. I have the right to face my accusers. I did not cave. I stood outside until they argued on the inside. They finally caved. The way I operate is I always try to force them to surrender to me. I'm just not surrendering to anybody because I know I'm on the right side of this. So I got in with that mask. I saw what a clown of a court it was. I confirmed my suspicions, which were their minds are made up on the science. Their minds are made up on what they're going to try and do to us. They're all Gavin Pelosi appointees, you know. It's an uphill battle. So I said to myself, good. When they continued it, I didn't go to court. And I have never gone to any of the court dates since. I don't show up. Instead, on the court date when it comes, I fire off a video that basically shames them, mocks them, challenges them to stand down. I basically, you know, just it's kind of an embarrassment for them. And I do that because here they are sitting in a courtroom waiting for me to show up and appear. I will never go on bended knee again and never be put in a position where it appears that they're my overlords, you know, where I'm standing before them. Right. I'm not doing that. So I don't go to court, and they've never faced this before, and they don't know how to handle it. They're still trying to figure it out.
Some people say that by entering a courtroom, you're giving up jurisdiction.
That's right. So I'm not doing it. Yeah, I'm not doing it. And I'm challenging everyone else to do what I've done. And I tried to give people the benefit of the doubt when they would call me. I launched this website called Make Restaurants Great Again. And it's a website that challenges all businesses to follow the criteria of standing up that we've done. And to this day, still I have zero businesses who will do what I've done. They won't do all five. And they'll walk in the business. They'll sit down and talk to me. I can see they get fired up. They get excited. Then when they leave, I'll wait to hear from them, and I won't hear anything. I'll follow up and they'll say, you know, I just can't do it.
Okay. So you've got steps that they need to follow, right? On the website.
Yeah.
MakeRestaurantsGreatAgain.com.
Yep. All of my videos to the court, they're all there. Rejecting the court dates. My interaction with OSHA is there, where I stonewalled them from coming in with a warrant. A lot of my stuff is there. It just makes it easy.
So do you want to go over the steps? Let's talk to business owners for a minute. And, you know, you guys who are owning businesses that are watching this, you can say, all right, what would you do in this situation? Could you follow these steps? Yeah. Let's go over the steps.
Yeah, sure. So you have to make your stated stand bigger than yourself. Has to be in honor of our freedoms, honor of our founders, honor of our military. Has to be those things. Two, I want you to fly a don't tread on me flag and American flag in front of your business to make it clear that you're taking a stand. Three, zero restrictions inside and out. Operate fully, openly, and boldly. And the fifth thing is you have to ban masks. The masks are the greatest weapon of the lockdown. That's what they're using. It's fear, control, and surrender and everything else. And because people caved and wore masks, which you've never done inside. I mean, you won't find our employees. I mean, there's no sign of mask in a restaurant, and there never was. That the mask has slowly turned into the vaccine, you know?
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah. So, and the other thing is, you know, you need to fight early. You need to step in the ring in round one. So many people now are saying, you know, I think I'm ready to fight now. It's like, well, it's been 14 months. Things are loosening. Right. It's almost like a boxer stepping into the ring in round 12 when your opponent has knocked you out already and you're waking up and you're swinging at nobody.
Yeah.
You're your punches have no impact. You have to fight in early rounds.
At this point, if people haven't, but they realize what they should have done, they can still start at this point.
They can start, but the problem is the other side's already emboldened. So what they have to do is now gear themselves up for the, I mean, fight now best you can, but if you're going to do it, I mean, you got to do it hardcore. Okay. Yeah. And the next time it happens, you got to pledge to yourself that you're going to take a bold stand day one.
Right. The other thing is, you mentioned things are loosening up, but there are a lot of people that are analyzing this from a, you know, strategy point of view, had predicted already that in order to fool the public, they would loosen restrictions and then tighten them again. Exactly. And each time they retighten them, they'd be a little tighter. And they'll eventually merge into adding climate lockdowns.
Oh, I
in addition to that.
I think you're right, 100%. I think that, yeah, I think, you know, when you mention that, it makes me think of people, even in red states like Mississippi, Texas, and Florida, where suddenly they're handing back their freedoms, and these people act like they have Stockholm syndrome, and they're thanking and praising their leaders. Thank you for giving us back our, you know, piece by piece freedoms. Oh, we're so grateful, you know. No, these leaders who, if you're a leader in any, if there's a leader in any state, any territory in this country, anyone that's responsible for a branch of government that has enforced any part of the lockdown, has shut down for one day, they can never be trusted to run government in this country again. We have to raise our standards for the candidates that we have running, because, you know, even people coming to me saying, what about DeSantis? No. He shut down too. Well, you know, they'll say, well, they'll make excuses for him. He didn't know how serious. Wait a second. What do you mean he didn't know? The Constitution was sitting in front of his face. Okay. And if he didn't know, then he's not smart enough and he's not American enough to know how to govern. So, you know, the Constitution is buried under so many layers of crap now that you can't even find it, you know? So we need to go back to the basics. That's what needs to happen.
And what's great about it is not that it's a constitution, because it could be full of all kinds of garbage and still be a constitution. The thing that's great about it is that it's based on God-given rights and not the rights as privileges from authorities, right? Not just government, but health authorities.
Exactly right. And they made that clear. I mean, it was a God-inspired constitution.
So. Right. And it also says, America has a special position and it's a special target right now because of those stated freedoms coming from God. But one of the things that is very clear in the Declaration of Independence is that those rights and freedoms belong to everybody in every country, because they don't come from the country.
That's right.
It's just that they're acknowledged here, or they used to be.
Yeah, we should all have the same rights. Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
So,
somebody, you know, going back to that, you know, talking about the country, somebody asked me once during an interview I did with somebody in Germany. And when we're about to close the interview, he said, you know, it kind of reminds me of when the Berlin Wall finally came down after 30 years of suffering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when this whole thing ends. And I said, you know, think about what you just said. I wonder if those people, after 30 years of suffering, when the wall came down, thought to themselves, why do we wait 30 years to fight? Why didn't we fight on day one?
Right.
And not allow this wall to be built in the first place.
Right? Yeah.
So people better wake up. I'm telling you.
The whole conversation was wrong from the beginning. And I think it's been very skillfully diverted by media and by education, which is a system of removing common sense and any memory of freedom from the whole population. So at this point, there has to be a reversal and awakening. When you're talking to the people about what they need to do with their own business to come back to normal, you said so far nobody's doing it, right?
Nobody's doing everything that we've done. Nobody will do it. Nobody will do it all the way. Nobody will be bold. You know, I'll give you an example. When they hit at us, we hit it back harder, as I explained. So, you know, and sometimes I'll do it with a smile on our face, because when you punch somebody in the face and they smile at you, you know, you're in for a fight. Like, oh my God, I just punched that guy as hard as I could. He smiled and winked at me. Are you kidding me? I better run the other way. Right. So, when we, when we were getting a lot of hate from LA, there were celebrities up there launching boycotts, and we had all kinds of stuff going on.
Wow.
And, you know, we did this funny voicemail greeting on our phone.
I wanted to play that for this show. Maybe
I could send you the link right now if you want.
Yeah, do, because this is recorded, everybody. We're recording this before.
Yeah, let me send that to you now. It's actually pretty funny. But when we were getting all that hate, the first thing we did, we're getting so many calls, we're tired of answering the phone. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this script. I had one of my guys record, a funny voicemail greeting, people are always asking us if, oh, you're Italian, you must be in the mob and all this stuff. So right. It's okay. You know what? We're going to have fun with that. So
yeah, it's not a bad suggestion.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to send it to you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to you now, but you can play it. But
we're going to put it in the intro to the show.
Sure. Okay. And then, so what happened was I thought about it. I thought, you know what, how do I get some good old fashioned Italian revenge on these people in LA? Because for me, I want them to understand that when they come after us, we're going to push them back harder and dig in more. And it's going to, there was a great NFL football coach who once said he had this saying. He said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. So who is going to feel fatigue first? It's a battle of wills. Are they going to grind you down, or are you going to stand up and wear them down? And that's why I tell people all the time, you may not have a business or a church, that has a profile or that gets attention, but you can turn the ground under your feet each day into your own personal constitutional battleground, mm-hmm. where when you're facing the enemies of freedom, you have to wear them down. For example, when you watch somebody walk into a business and you watch them reaching in their pocket, pulling their pocket out, pulling the mask out, putting it on before they even asked, it's like you're waving the surrender flag already before you even enter the battle. Yeah. So you have to go in there and make them tackle you to the ground and force it on your face. You need to wear them out to the point where they say, I never want to go through that again. Right. In fact, maybe if my boss keeps making me check mask the door, I might quit this job. But instead, people will walk in and you'll hear them say things like, you know, I don't want to wear the mask, but I don't feel like fighting today. I'll just put it on. They've already given up.
Right.
So when the thing happened in L.A., there's a funny line in the Godfather movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. The famous line is leave the gun, take the cannoli,
it's
a funny line. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to borrow from that and I'm going to change it and say, leave the mask, take the cannoli.
We did a funny slogan.
We ran a billboard up there in the heart of LA in Beverly Hills for a month. And it was a 48 foot billboard giant. And it made their heads just boom, explode. You know? And yeah, it was funny. And it felt really good. It's just part of our history. But, I was lucky to find somebody who finally agreed to run it. I didn't think that billboard would go up until I stood underneath it, the morning they actually put it up and watched it roll across, because everyone said, no, it's too controversial. Right. After she ran it, she said she almost lost her job. She could never run it again or do business with me again.
Who is that? Some kind of an agent for the company?
It was an agent for an advertising company. And since then, nobody nationally. I've called every agent possible. They will not run any ads from us anywhere.
Wow. So I have a question. We talked about, which is really good clarification. The point is the difference. What kind of a country is America? Is it based on individual freedom, or is it based on following orders like the Third Reich was and like most countries are in some way? And we decided, all right, it's a country that's written in the founding documents that it's founded on natural rights from God for the individual, as long as you don't intentionally go and harm somebody else other than self-defense, I mean. But there are a lot of people in those stores that you mentioned with the guard at the door telling people to put on masks. And most of those employees have been, I don't know how, but they got to the point where they actually believe that the pandemic is like going to kill them any second. And we said that compared to the main point, that's irrelevant, right? But does it have a place to let those guys know it's all made up, or is it so irrelevant that that shouldn't even be brought up?
I don't think it should. I think it's up to the person, and I think you'd be surprised. I think a lot of these people. I mean, think about it. The people on the front lines, like police officers who are arresting people, you know, that are going into businesses without masks,
right?
Arresting people that are doing things that are against the lockdowns. A lot of them, I would say majority of them in their hearts believe they're doing something wrong and they're going against their own principles.
Okay.
But they're selling out. That's the problem. People are selling out left and right. They're selling their souls and, you know, for a paycheck. If people, even people on the front lines, would stand down and stand on the side of liberty and freedom, this thing would have been over. But instead, you know, it's the almighty dollar. Well, it's my job. I got to do it.
That's right. And that could apply to the health authorities too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear people tell me, you know, one minute, I'm all for what you're doing. They'll say I'm hardcore too. You know, I'm standing up. Then they'll say, but you know, tomorrow I'm taking a flight because, you know, so I have to wear a mask. I said, you don't have to fly. Oh yes, I do. Yeah. I have to go. No, you don't. Drive. You don't have to fly. You know, so people are hypocritical. You either believe this or you don't. You either believe in what you're doing, you believe in the fight, or you don't. I have some people even saying to me, "Yeah, Tony, you know, I got the scam going, or I'm using a fake a vaccine passport." I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't make you. You're not going to win like that. You're playing their game.
Yeah.
You know, by you sneaking around, you know, doing an end game, you're only emboldening them, whether it's fake or not. You know,
you're legitimizing.
You're legitimizing it. You're giving the authority over you still. People just don't get it, and it frustrates me so much. You know, I tell people too, like the guy at the door that's stopping you,
yeah,
and doing something against what he believes in, or the guy or the woman that hangs a no mask, no service sign in their window and enforces, you know, does temperature checks, and they know it's wrong, but they do it because, oh, we're afraid to lose stuff.
Exactly.
I think to myself, their subjugation is going to scar them for the rest of their lives, whether they know it or not. It's going to scar their soul. It's going to damage their self-respect. It's going to demoralize their spirit and their business. Whether you close now and think you're going to reopen later and be the same, you're not. You're going to have the scars of surrender on your walls.
Yeah.
This is going to haunt you forever. And, you know, there was a guy that actually heard me say that once, and he drove from Miami to see me from Miami. And he walked in, you know, on a Friday or Saturday night. He said, "Oh, you're Tony." Yeah. You know, we started to talk. He said, "Man, me and my brother drove from Miami." And I said, "Why? It's a long way." He said, cause I heard you saying about demoralizing your spirit and your soul by subjugation. And he said, "After I heard you say that, the next day I caved in again and your words were ringing in my head. And after I felt that, because you said it, I said to myself, I will never, ever do that again." And he wanted to tell me that in person, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So, people need to remember that, you know, and especially the men. You know, where are the men? Where are the men leading? You know, women, especially in families, kids, are depending on us to lead.
Right.
I just don't understand.
We've been re-educated, you know, without being in a camp.
Yeah.
Just by watching TV and listening to all this stuff.
Yeah. It's just.
So the original spirit of people who said, "Give me liberty or give me death," that's something that's been largely forgotten, or it's out of reach or whatever. And I remember what you're saying. People have sold out to keep their job and their paycheck. I was thrown out of a natural food store where I would get most of my food before, and as they were physically throwing me out of the store because I would not wear the mask, I was trying to talk to them, you know, the employees, and say, you know, have you seen what's happening as this gets further? You know, the police clubbing people for going out of their house and stuff like that. And he said, "No, and I don't want to see it. And if I don't do this, I lose my job." So, you know, honestly saying what the priorities were.
There you go. And for you, putting them through that and educating him, and in the way that, because that's what we need, you know. When you fight, people have to understand, when you fight, there are consequences. Otherwise, there isn't a fight. You have to be prepared to fight, and you have to prepare for the consequences. And you may lose some of the battles, right? But in the end, all that matters is that we win the war on this. That's it.
Right. And that at the end of your life, you look back and don't feel bad about how you responded. You know, that you did what you wanted to do.
That's exactly it. Right. You know, there's a kid, there's a 19-year-old kid that works there, that works at a restaurant. He was adopted from Kazakhstan when he was five. Wow. So when he was adopted, he didn't speak English well. They held him back a year. So he's a senior this year. And I ran into his mother somewhere. And you know, I love this kid. He's just a stand-up young man. He's all about our fight. I mean, he's very engaged. He's a gentleman already. And she told me that he didn't even tell me this. She told me that he decided he's not going to his graduation ceremony because they wear masks. Mm. And then she told me that in March, I didn't even know this, back in March, when they were going back to school because they were trying to force him to wear a mask, he dropped out and is being educated at home. Well, later I found out from his father, who told me not only that, he said when this kid plays for the number one volleyball team in the nation, you know, high school, Newport Beach, California, number one team in the nation. He told me that he walked off the team because his coach challenged him and said, "I'm putting a mask on you." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "Well, then, you know, you're going to lose your opportunity to play on the number one nation volleyball team." He said, "You're not going to walk away from that." He goes, "Yes, I am." And he just walked off the court. So that's a man of honor. And that's what you need. You need men of honor. This kid is only 19 years old. I can't find men, you know, that are twice or three times his age doing what he's doing. Exactly. So, but those are the things that need to be done. Sacrifices, you know.
So what are they doing with the restaurant? Are they just keep giving you fines, or what's their response?
So finally we discovered that the judge in the case for the first group of charges. So we have two groups of charges. The first group of charges I didn't show up for, both I didn't, but they already, the judge in that case submitted a recommendation to the director of the ABC, he runs the entire state agency, and he was appointed by Gavin Pelosi, and she recommended to him that they suspend her license for 30 days, and now it's on his desk. He can either sign it and enforce it, he can waive it, he can increase it, he can do whatever he wants. So when I found out about this, I again went right back to the internet and sent an open letter to him, again challenging his manhood, mocking him, shaming him, and telling him. I think what shocked a lot of people in the video is basically what I said. You'll see it on Make Restaurants Great Again. All that stuff is there. Yeah. But I basically say to him, "That's all you got? 30 days? That's all you're going to do? You've wrecked businesses for 13 months, 14 months, you've left a path of destruction, people's lives and businesses. And you promised that if people violated, that you would revoke ABC licenses, which are very, very valuable, as you can imagine."
Tell people what ABC stands for if they don't.
Alcohol Beverage Control Board, California.
Yeah.
And you would shut them down. So if you said you were going to do it. You couldn't pick a better symbol of defiance than us. So shut our business down and revoke our license. I'm asking you to man up and do what you said you were going to do, right? Make our sacrifices worth it, you know? Or if you're not man enough to do it and you didn't mean what you said, get the hell out of the way, apologize to everybody, and just basically leave everybody alone and let them be.
And how long ago was this?
Maybe a month. I haven't heard anything yet. Yeah. I think they have 100 days to respond, but you know, well, you know, so basically what I'm saying to him is, when they throw a punch for 30 days, I look at them and say, "That's all you got? That's all you have? That's all, you know, basically bring it," you know, because even 30 days, if businesses had known that the penalty for operating for a year, for over a year, for 14 months would have just been 30 days, they would have all done it. But all of them were afraid to test the metal of the enemy. And we weren't. But everybody else was. So there you have it.
Okay. So you're aware of what's happening in Canada right now, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
I mean, Canada, you know, I've only been to Canada once, so I don't know it very well. I don't really know the spirit of the people in Canada.
They're shutting down churches a lot.
Businesses. I know they're doing that.
With a church, they put a wall around it so nobody could see it.
Here's the thing. when the shutdowns happened, I guarantee you the rest of the world was watching in this battle of good versus evil. How is America going to respond? America always sets the example. And you know what? We failed. We failed. Everyone's watching and we failed. Right. And it's extremely sad and disappointing. And I can't believe what I've seen.
Right. And you know, too, you brought up the point of people giving in to save their paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, this program is intended to wipe out the financial system completely. So it's part of going along with it that we're supporting that.
Yeah, you can't even find people to work anymore. You know, I read an article the other day where they said you would have to make over $32,000 a year before you'd even want to go back to work, because that's what they're paying people. Just sit home.
Yeah, not by mistake. I mean, shutting down everything at once.
Of course. You know, and people have to remember this too. When I talked about standards for our government leaders, you know, I say things people sometimes don't want to hear, but I think you need to say things in order to win this fight. You know, we have to be honest. The shutdown happened under Trump. He allowed it. He stood there with that sign that said 15 days to slow the spread. He should have. He said masks were patriotic. He allowed Portland and Seattle to burn for months. Listen, he had a chance. He had a chance to step up and block all this stuff. At least make it look like you were. You know, when I heard, I never forget when I heard him say, "We're going to reopen the country by Easter." I thought to myself, "My God, reopen the? How insane does that even sound? Reopen the country? It's the greatest, most powerful country in the world. It should never shut down for any reason ever.
Right.
Ever.
Plus, it not only shouldn't it, it can't, according to the founding documents."
They can't. And people say to me, you know, Tony, I thought 15 days. Okay, I'll do 15. I said, wait a second. That's the problem. You shouldn't have shut down for 15 seconds.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
It's too late. Once you shut down that first day, you've already given them what they wanted.
Trump said on TV that you could destroy a country with these lockdowns. And then he went along with it.
He went along with it. He did. He had so many opportunities to fire about. You know, the thing about him is one day he would make them the enemy, and the next day he would tell us how great the person was. You know, it was always back. I never knew what he really meant.
It's true.
You know? Yeah.
And, you know, we need a certain quality of people in office, like you were talking about, because not only did he go along with the lockdowns, he take billions of dollars from the country and gave it to the vaccine dealers.
He sure did.
Yep. And then let them make profit on top of that.
Yeah. And now he's talking about how everybody should get a vaccine.
He's saying that anybody who doesn't, even among his followers, is a deranged pseudoscientist.
Unbelievable. That's just so sad. Yeah. That's why I tell people, take down your Trump flags and start flying American flags. I'm tired of seeing it. It's not United States of Trump. It's United States of America. Stop it.
How do you find people to get into those offices that deserve to be there?
I think you need to, I think if we do exactly what I said, which is raise the standards, people will then see it as a noble role. You know, I think people now look at it like a joke because they see people like Biden. They see people like, I mean, are you kidding me? Cuomo and all the rest of them. They think, why would I want to be in the same class as these people? These are the people that are running our country. But I think if they see people of nobility in office, they'll want to be like, you know, when we were kids, we would say, oh, God, to be president of the United States would be really cool, right?
Oh, my God.
Now it's a joke. People, I mean, you can't even talk people into it anymore. They don't want to do it.
Some of them realize that the president and all the visible leaders are controlled by this network of mafias. And if they say anything that's true, then they not only lose their paycheck, they could get assassinated.
You know, you have to be fearless. Yeah, in the Bible, it says fear not almost more than anything else. So
that's right.
Just be fearless.
So how would you tell? I think that's essential as a first step to anything good. Yeah. And almost nobody has dealt with it. So it's not a surprise that no business owners so far are following your five steps or whatever number of steps that was.
Hey, people were threatening my life almost daily, and we didn't change anything. We still operated with our doors unlocked at night, even when we were closing. We did.
Right,
I said, "Look, if they're going to get me, they're going to get me." I can't worry about that.
Whatever's meant to happen.
Whatever's meant to happen is going to happen. I felt like somebody asked me once on a crowded night, You know, because over time, you know, the word started to spread. At first, people weren't coming at all for the first couple of months because people were afraid of what they were seeing on TV. So, but over time, we were getting lines out the door for people driving from all over the country, all over California, just to be a part of what was going on there. You know, it turned from a restaurant into a 1776 tavern. You know, that's how it felt, where organizations were being launched there. You know, campaigns were being launched inside with people talking, you know, planning campaigns. Patriots were connecting. I mean, just the things that have happened in there have just been unbelievable. There are nights where you'll see people break out singing the national anthem and singing God Bless America. I mean, the feeling inside that place is incredible. But somebody asked me one night when I was standing in front of the crowd, he said, "Tony, how does this make you feel?" And I said, "You know, I feel blessed. And I think God is blessing me because he knows that my heart is pure and true for what I'm doing." And, you know, I didn't plan any of this to happen. I didn't plan any of the rewards that have come to me with the, you know, with the people that I've met, especially, you know, I've been really greatly rewarded with that, like meeting people like yourself. But I didn't expect it. And I think he knew that in my heart and you know, and he blessed me with protection too. So,
very essential, but that's his job, not just ours.
That's right.
But it sounds like this, trying to drill down to the basis of what's going to decide where we go from here. Your issue of bringing up that everybody's operating on fear is a really big deal. Because as long as they're primarily controlled by fear, what they do is only going to happen within limited range. They've got to get rid of the fear first, and then they can change what they're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if even just 5% of businesses around the country did what we did? You know, it'd be over, because they would know then. Look, these people in Orange County, you think they'd be thinking about even having the guts to push for a vaccine passport or a mandate if within the first couple months of this, even if hopefully, I mean, I would have wished for the first couple of days, people would have ripped off their masks, thrown them away, and said, basically, screw you, we're not doing this.
No,
they would never even thought of trying this. You
might
know?
Not be great for their political future to keep doing.
They've been so empowered, you know. And I tell people this too. People ask me about these rallies. Hey, Tony, we're having this rally. You should come. Like, listen, rallies aren't going to get you anywhere. You rallying and waving your flag and chanting, you know, the enemies of freedom are looking at their watch, waiting for your rally to end. They're going to go back. You know, you see some of these online meetings, these board meetings, city council meetings, half of them are just sitting on the screen, eating lunch or checking their phone. They're not even listening to you.
Well,
they don't care about you.
To be fair, some of them are actually texting.
Oh, texting. Yeah. So I've seen that. Right. And I think to myself, you're wasting your time. Take that energy, you know, and enough of the parties. Okay. Cause that's what it is. A rally is a party. Enough of the parties. Each of you go home and take an action, a real action, you know, of defiance, and do it every day. And you'll see this thing and be gone. It'll be over.
Okay. So what if they're honest with you and say, Tony, I'm becoming aware that I am controlled by fear, losing my paycheck, everything else being attacked, being not liked by my friends. How do I drop the fear and become free inside so that my actions will start reflecting it?
I think, again, you have to go back to convincing them to think about things bigger than themselves. I tell people this too. I say, look, you know, having no fear coming from putting something bigger than yourself, in terms of importance in front of you. Think about, like, if you were on a boat in the middle of the ocean and I asked you to jump in the ocean, would you do it? No. But if your kid fell in, you wouldn't even think twice. You would jump in a second.
Right.
So think of your children. Think of your ancestors. Think about your fellow Americans. You know, if you love your country, they need to be challenged. Do you love your country or not? Don't tell me that you do and then say you're not willing to stand up to tyranny.
Right.
You know, either love your country or you don't. Do you love it? Okay. If you don't, move out of the way, go to the next one.
And this could apply to people in any country.
Any country. All we need is the people that we just need to rally the people that can find the courage within themselves. The rest, if you want to stay on the sidelines, stay on the sidelines. But let us do our jobs.
Well, it wasn't 100% of the early Americans that started the whole freedom thing with this.
Small percentage. Yeah. small percentage. That's right.
Yeah. So at the moment, you've got plenty of business, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's been good and it's been fun. I mean, like I said, inside when you walk in there, it's a special feeling. And it's a special feeling because people feel free. I mean, people come up to me. It's amazing. You know, I never really even knew how much it was going to impact other people. I did it just based on instincts and based on my love for the country and principle.
Yeah.
But I never knew what the rewards were going to be. I didn't even thought about them. You know, we never made our stand about business. It was never, you know, I hear people whining, oh, we're going to take a stand because we're, you know, we can't pay our rent, can't pay our bills. Uh-huh. You know, we need to operate our business. Like, wait, stop. You're whining about things. You can lose assets. You can lose your business. You can recover those things. Right. Well, your freedoms are gone. They're gone forever. I don't want to hear about your business. Make your stand. Listen, you know, think about it. We just had an interview for about an hour already. You know, I just realized this. I haven't mentioned the name of my business once.
I think that would be a really good thing to do, though, too.
I don't even think about it. You know, so you know, I think that people need to remember that, and I think that's an important part of the fight. Is you know, you got to think about the things and the people that matter more than your own self interest.
The categories of people that have to do something if we're going to have a better outcome to this whole situation. One category is business owners that even though it's late, they need to reconsider their position and do something constructive. And the other is the general public. But there's another category too. And that's the people consciously working for the system.
You know? Yes.
The police, the health officers, the people that are keeping this thing going.
Yeah, because when you think about it, when they arrest somebody who's operating their daily lives freely as a free American, yeah, and they arrest them, to me it's treasonous. They should be arrested. They should be arrested and tried for treason.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos of the health officer, the authority, you know, who's, and this is Trump went along with this, of course, fully, is to put a health officer above president, ruling the people who was not elected and not in the Constitution.
Exactly what happened.
And so it's happening at the local levels and the state levels too. And you'll see videos of the health authorities leading the police.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no consequence. You know, these people operate recklessly and violate our rights constantly. And there's no consequences for them ever. Never.
Yeah. So you've given messages to Newsom a lot and he hasn't had time to respond yet, apparently.
I taunt him all the time. I've taunted him in public, taunt social media, in the news, every chance I get in speeches that I've given. I know for a fact, because I've heard from people that know that he's aware of what's going on and, you know, he sees everything. I know that, you know, and I also know that, you know, in the early days of this, people were copying us on the emails that they were sending to his office. I mean, he was getting bombarded with emails by the hundreds every day. People that are saying, shut these guys down, shut these guys down, shut these guys constantly, you know. But, you know, we actually, you know, like I said, we mock him every chance. We're trying to draw him out. We actually have wanted posters on our on our windows with his face on it. I'll send you a copy of that.
Yeah, too. That would be nice to have for the show.
Yeah.
If you were given an opportunity to talk to the health authorities who believe and have convinced themselves and their education has backed it up that they are saving the world and, you know, by shutting down business and shutting down people's lives in America and elsewhere, what would you tell them?
You know, for me, I would say you're fired. That's what I would tell them. I would say you're fired, and we have to start over again. We have to clean house. You know, we really need to start over. I mean, you think about like I said earlier, so many layers of crap that's been piled on top of what the founding of our country was meant to be. We've lost sight of it. You know, we're just lost
completely.
I mean, right. Yeah, it feels like it's a ship that is not only heading in the wrong direction, but is partially sinking too. You know, and it has to be turned around 180 degrees, completely turned around, and we have to do it fast. You have to and people, especially in states like California, I'm so tired of hearing these people bragging about how they're going to move. Oh, I'm leaving California. First of all, California is probably the most beautiful state in the country.
So I agree,
it's worth saving. And you know, when Americans are not refugees. We don't flee. We don't escape. Our heritage is we stand and fight.
Right.
And if these people keep running away and they keep going to these two or three states, they're going to surrender the rest of the country. They're all going to be crowded in these two or three, Idaho, Texas, Arizona, or wherever.
That's the emigration from the states where things are more difficult.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, why are they so, and it's almost like when they say it, they're so proud, you know, and I even think to myself too, there's a lot of people from other countries that approach me and they say, oh, you know, Tony, I know what communism is. I know what this is and that is. I lived in a country and I fled and we fled and we escaped and we ran. And I think to myself, why doesn't everybody stay where they are and fight?
Yeah.
Right?
It just never occurred to most people to do that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just fight. You know, we can overwhelm them. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, the story of the Japanese, the reason why they were thinking about invading America during World War II, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they knew that Americans are heavily armed.
The blade of grass analogy, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're heavily armed.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's a reason that particular part of the Bill of Rights is under attack as well.
So important.
They know it's important.
It's so important. My God. So especially now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, incredible. So what I'd like to end with, at least this segment, and if it's useful, we can do more in the future, is actions, suggested actions for two groups. You've already said what you would say for the health officials, but the other two groups that we talked about, the general public who is afraid of everything and the business owners who are afraid of everything connected to the business, retribution, etc. What would you like willing members of those two groups to do before we talk again, starting now?
Test their courage. I think that they'll be surprised when they really dig deep, get in touch with their feelings for this country and for their families and for God even. And when they start really meditating on what the founders sacrificed. I mean, the founders put everything at risk. You know, you think about it. They signed their death warrants when they signed the Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
And when you think about John Hancock,
yeah,
especially, you know, the King of England, you know, his eyesight was poor. So John Hancock wanted to really give him the middle finger and signed it huge. So he knew, hey, I'm here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about courage. And these guys didn't have to give up anything. They had property. They had wealth. They had everything, you know, they had special access. They had, they had it all. So I think that, you know, if you as a person, you know, you feel that fear and you want to do it in baby steps, do it in baby steps, but start with the mask and start with challenging people at the door. When you walk into a place and they try to hit you with a mask, you have to fight your battle right then. And you'll see after you do it the first time, you're not going to die. I'm not going to bite your head off.
Yeah.
Just do it and watch what happens. You might be surprised. You know, some people that I say this to will come back to me and go, I did it today, Tony. I did, if it's a woman or a man, I did it today. And it was amazing. I went in there and I feel so good. I'm going to do it. It's amazing how you will feel.
Yeah.
You know? And you will go to bed at night being so proud of yourself. And you know, if it costs you a job to take a stand against, you know, your own employer, you have to be prepared to give it all up, and you'll be surprised at the blessings that will come to you afterwards. Look, we could have easily complied and protected everything that we have and not sacrifice, you know, and not put, you know, not put anything at risk. That would have been the easy way.
Yeah.
But you know, I had to stand by my principles, and you know, we did what I think is the honorable thing. And you know what? We've been enriched in many ways. And I think that God has put me on the front lines of this, and I feel blessed that I get to be put in the front lines to battle the enemies of freedom every single day.
So for the people who haven't totally forgotten that spirit and they have any kind of a business that for the public, let's give them an invitation of what to do before we talk again.
Yeah, I would say the easiest thing, I mean, I go on and on. The easiest thing is go to Make Restaurants Great Again, watch some of the videos, read some of the stuff on there. You'll be challenged. And think about it. And if you can't do all the things that I've done all at once, do them one step at a time.
Right.
But you're going to lose your country if you don't hurry up. You know, and especially the men. I'm challenging the men more than anybody. You know, I'm surrounded by women constantly. The women are what I've experienced, and I shouldn't have been surprised because I've watched my own mother do it my whole life.
Yeah.
Is they take action. They stand up, and their ferocity is so intense. Right. And they're around me all the time. They're fighting every day. And I'm not seeing as much in the men. And they asked me too, Tony, where are the men? You know, so all I can say is to the men is, you know, the women are watching you. Stand up for your families.
Yeah.
Stand up for the weak. You know, there's a lot of people out there too that are weak, you know, and it's our obligation as strong men to stand up for them as well.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not referring to the women. I'm referring to people, the elderly, people maybe who aren't as educated on their freedoms.
Right.
You know,
right.
People who just don't know, you know, it's our job to stand up for them too.
Well, and all the little kids who are just trusting that's what you're going
to
do.
Oh, that's a given too. The children. Yeah. I mean, I have people bring their young children into the restaurant and they pull me aside and they say, Tony, our kids are here with us tonight because we want them to see what America is supposed to look like. We want them to know that what they're seeing outside of here is not the reality that we want them to grow up with. We want them to see what's happening here. And I tell them, we will keep this vintage America. And it's sad to even call it that because it's only been, a year, over a year. But it is vintage America. I mean, when you walk in there, people are blown away by it. And like I was starting to say earlier, it's amazing how many people are affected by it. People walk in there in tears, men too.
Yeah, I can
and they're
see
just it. Breaking down in tears because of how this has impacted them. And they come in and feel a sense of normalcy, complete normalcy, no sign of lockdown. It's like a time warp. We had, I get military veterans come in there, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Green Berets, veterans of Korea, Vietnam. I mean, I had one soldier walk in there on Veterans Day in full uniform. He spoke to me with his family. He came with them, spoke to me. He walked away. He had his dinner and he came back. He said, Tony, I want to do an impromptu ceremony with you. And he stood in front of me. He said a few words. He reached over and ripped the American flag off his uniform. He gave it to me and I sewed it on my jacket.
Cool.
But that was a moment that just gave me chills, you know? So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you don't think standing up matters to people, you'll see it does.
Yeah. What about how you would recommend relating to what's on television all the time and what the media is doing?
Which part?
Major media telling people that what you're encouraging people to do is completely evil and that the way we get through everything successfully is obedience.
Yeah. I mean, I think the media's intention is to really govern. And they're governing through the media. You know, they're governing the country, really. And they're doing it through fear. And it's just incredible. I mean, why do you think they had? I mean, I remember on CNN, they had the count on the screen. I mean, it was every day deaths going up, up, up. It's so obvious to people like us, but I'm not sure why it's not obvious to other people. And that's what worries me. You know,
it's an active brainwashing device.
It's just so obvious, and I just think. If you think about it, if people never turned their TVs on ever and they walked outside, they would have never known there was anything going on.
So no, just, you don't have to step over all the bodies or
just
anything.
Exactly. I didn't see people dropping dead in front. So just turn your TVs off. It's as simple as that, you know, watch a movie.
Yeah. Back when they used to make good movies.
Good movies. Yeah. Like The Godfather, right?
Yeah, for example.
Godfather, Goodfellas.
Inspiring things.
Yeah, there you go.
But,
just kidding.
But the same thing applies to what they call education nowadays.
Yeah.
Right? People sending their kids to that are giving up their kids, basically.
That's, it's really, really disappointing. I mean, the other day it was funny. I saw two families walking towards each other on a sidewalk. Husband, wife, three little kids. I swear, it's the craziest thing. Husband, wife, three little kids, other side. They're walking towards each other. Husband, wife, three little kids. One family was masked up completely, and one family wasn't. Okay. And, you know, it's so easy to see right there, basically what they believe in, you know.
Exactly.
Just from the mask.
Being willing to abuse your kids to serve fear.
Yeah, it's really something.
Yeah, so we need.
It's been interesting for sure. This is a time I think people don't even understand how momentous in history it is until we've distanced ourselves from it a little bit and look back on it. But right now, right now in the middle of it. But I think a lot of people one day are gonna look back and go, "Did that really happen?"
They could do that now if they just imagine they're in the future looking back.
Amen. Yeah.
Decide what to do at the moment.
That would be smart.
Anyway, I think you made some great points about, it's a fake pandemic and we know all the details of that now and where they're going with it, but that's not the issue. You know, the issue is free country or not, free individual or not, and that really it's as simple as that. Right.
That's right. It's very simple.
I think it's still worth letting people know, and you can disagree if you think that I'm incorrect with this, but it's still worth letting people know who really don't know that it's a fake pandemic and think that they're going to fall over dead any minute, you know, and that we're just being insane by walking around without a mask. It's okay for them to know that the whole thing was staged and fake, right? That actually could help us, I think.
Again, whether it's fake or not doesn't matter. And I think, look, worst case is it's another version of the flu. That's what it is. And
at the worst.
Yeah, and it's funny. All of a sudden, the flu's disappeared. Nobody talks about the flu anymore, right? I haven't heard anything about the flu all winter.
Well, right?
they didn't call it the flu anymore.
That's right. But one of these big officials, I don't know if it was Fauci or somebody else, tried to cover for that, and he said all the measures that we've been doing to stop COVID-19 have obviously worked because they've completely stopped the flu.
Well, here's the problem with that. That's why they've set this up for them to win either way. So if the virus numbers, if their data shows the virus numbers go down, right, they can say, look, everything worked.
Exactly.
Everything that we did worked. If the virus numbers go up, they can say, we didn't lock down hard enough. So
and
next
it's the
time
anti-maskers really that are doing
it. Yeah, now we really got to lock down hard the next time.
Yeah, and so we need more vaccines faster.
That's it. I mean, you have to pay attention, you know. So, going back to the fight, too, you can't – this is an all-or-nothing fight. This is a take-no-prisoners fight. You can't give this people an inch. You can't give them an inch. Listen, even the OSHA guys – after we stonewalled them with search warrant, they had a judge signed search warrant and the police. We stonewalled them, said, you're not getting in. They threatened arrest and everything else. And since then, you know, one of them, he continues to try to contact me and email me. And it just gets funnier and funnier. And I don't even respond because you just can't give them anything. You know,
that's jurisdiction. If you do that, right?
That's it. Yeah. I give them nothing. That's how I felt.
So what happened in that scene where they said, and usually people let them in, obviously, because, you must obey authorities' rules no matter what. Yeah. And usually they go into the business, they steal all the cash, they steal the computers, they trash everything else, and then they leave.
Yep.
And you don't see your stuff for a long time, if ever. So when they were intending to do that and probably figuring that that's how it would go, what did you guys do specifically?
Well, the first thing that happened was I got a call from the guys at the restaurant. I wasn't there.
Okay.
They said, Tony OSHA's here. And I said, what do they want? He said, hold on. What do you want? And then they asked them. And I said, ask them what the scope of their inspection is going to be. He goes, hold on. They asked him. He said, Tony, he won't tell me. It's okay. Now ask him who the plaintiff is, who initiated the investigation. He asked him, he said, he won't tell me. I said, well, you know, tell him he's got to leave. And he said, well, the guy just said that if you tell him to leave, he's going to come back and make it harder on you with a search warrant. I said, tell him, good, go get a search warrant. He's not getting in.
Were they standing inside when this exchange happened?
No, we never let him inside. They're outside. And okay. Then, so he left. And sure enough, four weeks, whatever it was later, they showed up. The guys called me again. I wasn't there. I'm not there a lot. I'm there maybe three times a week, always Friday, Saturday nights. So they called me and said, Tony, they're back with warrant with the police. I said, okay. I said, tell them I'll be down there in a minute, maybe 30 minutes. He said, okay, I'll let them know. So I took my time. You know, I had a cup of coffee. I relaxed for a little bit, made some phone calls. You know, made him wait. You know, then I drove down there. By the time I got there, the police already left. You know, they gave up. They left. I get there and the agent's there, and I walk past him. I walk into the restaurant. He's sitting outside at a patio table by himself, looking at his notes.
Yeah,
he doesn't even know who I am. He's never seen me before. I walk past him into the restaurant. I sit at the bar, have a nice breakfast, right? And the guys are going, Tony, he's outside. I go, you know what? Let him wait. Enjoyed my breakfast, talked to some of the guys in the restaurant for about an hour. I just made him wait.
Wow.
Then I walked outside. I said, so you're the guy, huh? He said, yes, I have a warrant. And I said, you're not getting in. And then he said, well, you know, I said, take your mask off. And he goes, I don't want to take it off. And I said, well then you're not, well, you and I are not going to talk on the patio. You have to step off the property. So I took him off the property. And then I said, I saw his name on his badge, and I said, how do I know that that's you? I need you to pull your mask off so I can see your face.
Right.
You know, these are all ways of wearing them down, you know, like basically taking control. So
is this a health authority or a police authority?
This was the OSHA agent from OSHA.
Oh, OSHA. Sorry.
So he pulls his mask down. He shows me his face. Like, okay. Uh-huh. It's you. It's you on your badge. Good. You know, it's okay. If you want to put your, you know, whatever you're going to do. So, you know, there's a video of it again. It's on the site, and it's me just schooling him for about 35 minutes. And it went from I'm getting in with the warrant with the police to I tell you what, Tony, how about if I just give you these bag of masks? Would you accept them? And I said, hey, look, man, you can leave them if you want, but they're going in the trash, you know, basically. So you can do what you want. Would you maybe tell me how many employees that you have? And I'm like, hey, you know, how many employees do we have? You know, I asked one of the guys. Yeah. He said, can I get their names? I'm like, it's not going to happen. Can I have an appointment to come back and interview them? Not going to happen. I mean, just basically, you know, I was very respectful. I was very nice to him. I know how to deal with these people in a way that is based on facts. So I don't have to wave my arms around and scream and yell or throw people around or, you know, even intimidate. But I think what intimidates them is that they can see that I have a spine of steel. Like you are not going to sway me to agree with anything you're trying to push on me. It's not going to happen. And I think when they realize that, they know they hit a brick wall, and like I said earlier, that they've knocked on the wrong door this time, you know?
Right. And you're really demonstrating that they depend on compliance.
No, totally. And you know, it's funny because right next door to us on our right and then next door to us on the left, you see signs on the doors where they're requiring masks. With these two other businesses, you can't get in without a mask. Then you see our business. We have signs with, you know, their images of people with masks on, and there's a line going through it. Like there's no mask allowed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, they're not used to seeing any of that. And when they see it, I think it's shocking, you know?
Yeah.
It's shocking.
So what everybody assumes is that if you don't obey the authorities, I mean, they're just going to vaporize your business that day.
These are just people. You know, the government is not this big, bad. These are just people, human beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when the police have come and they showed up with masks, I said, you got to step outside. And I take them outside and I, you know, I talk to them. And I think when they hear that my stand is different than everyone else's that they've heard, like everyone else is, I have right to operate my business and earn income and feed my families, and pay my bill. I don't say any of that. All I do is talk about freedom, about liberty, about America, about the Constitution, about our founders, about, you know, the history of our country, the traditions, the culture, everything. And they listen and they're hearing me out thinking, we've never heard this before. You know, this is what this guy's fight. He's got American flags everywhere. He's got "Don't Tread on Me" flag flying. You know, they're seeing all this stuff, the Constitution on the window. I mean, they don't know what to do with me. They haven't faced this before. So
you're not reading off the right script as far as.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is we've never complied. So they can never say, well, you did comply the first couple of weeks, Tony, or the first month. Exactly. Why has it changed? No, we've never complied. So, these businesses that have defied suddenly, when you listen to them, they're defying partially. If it's a restaurant, for example, they're defying only for outdoor dining, but they'll restrict indoor dining, or masks are optional but not banned, or customers can wear a mask or not, but our employees are wearing shields. And it's like, I tell people this, if you're a business and you're doing any of that, you're not truly open. You are only open if you do it vintage America style like us, with no remnants, no sign of the lockdowns anywhere inside the business. Zero.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, live up to your ideals or not.
That's it. Everything has to be pre March 19th or, you know, whatever the date is.
Yeah.
2020. Yeah.
The real normal that they want to never come.
The real normal. Yeah. And even probably that normal isn't normal. We need to go back even further, you know?
Well, true. Yeah. Because people were still totally brainwashed at that point.
Yeah. Think about this. Even indoor smoking, right? Indoor smoking was a ban from restaurants a while back, you know, and businesses. Yeah. You think about that even. It's like, why should they have banned that? Listen, I don't like smoking, but you know what? I could have made that my policy on my own. I could have said, you know what? I want to be a no smoking restaurant.
It was up to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Up to me. But who the hell are they to ban people from smoking? What if a restaurant wants to be a smoking restaurant? They want to, you know, they have alcohol that goes well with cigarettes or cigars or whatever. They should do what they want.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But see, people pick and choose. You know, these supposed freedom fighters pick and choose which laws they like, and they don't really. I heard somebody one day they heard a Harley Davidson go down the street, and you know, and it was loud, and they said they should ban that. And I said,
yeah,
listen to what you're saying. You're piling so many law on top of law on top of law. Before you know it, you can't do anything. You know, in Huntington Beach in California, you know where the restaurant is. There was a time when, man, there were fire pits on the beach. They were lit all night long. You would drive down PCH. It's so beautiful. And now there's so many restrictions. You can do this. You can't do that. I mean, it's just everything's changed, you know.
So a new start completely is needed, right?
That's what I think. That's how I feel.
So you're not looking for, you know, coming down to the bottom line, you're not looking for more business. You're already packed with business overflowing, right?
Yeah.
For your restaurant. Yeah. So what's your purpose now? What do you want?
I want complete and utter victory. I want them to surrender. What I've stated even in my videos is I want them to drop all charges against all businesses. Uh-huh. I want them to issue an official apology for what they've done. I want us as Americans to qualify brand new candidates for all public office, and they have to have a history that demonstrates that they've never that demonstrates that they will govern by the Constitution only. I think if, you know, like I said earlier, if you have a history of compliance at all with the lockdowns, you can't run office in this country. There's a guy in San Diego running for the recall. His name is Faulkner, Kevin Faulkner. I don't know if you heard of him.
No.
Where's your office?
Arizona, Sedona.
Arizona, yeah. Kevin Faulkner. And he's running like he's some savior. It's like, are you kidding me? You locked down your own city. You locked down the beaches. You locked down. You were one of the first, and you did it hard. I mean, you sent the police out the first night, meeting with business owners, telling them that what the restrictions were, you know, were actually going to be. I have video of it. And you're going to tell us that you're going to be the guy that's going to save us from Newsom, you know, from Gavin Pelosi. So, I mean, it's all about standards. People have to have, Americans have to have American standards.
One of the things that people say is hard to find good candidates is that you need people with those standards and the character. And courage, but they also have to have tons of money. It's hard to find that combination.
Yeah, but I think that's changing. I think with the internet and social media, when you think about Trump, he's Trump, so he got a lot of built-in coverage because he's Trump.
He was well known before.
Yeah, but he did a lot of it on social media. I think it's changing. I think because of social media, and I think because of the internet.
Do you think that the new free speech social media platforms are going to be able to overcome the ones that are knocking everybody?
No. I think you mean the new ones that are being created?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only way we're going to do this. But it's funny because I gave a speech in Ventura County, and it was in front of a big crowd. I was on top of a flatbed truck. They did it like old style. It was pretty cool.
Right.
And they had streaming the whole event there, a company called Right Side Media. Have you heard of them?
Yes. Yeah, they're good.
So they tout themselves as a free speech, alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're conservative, media. We've covered all the Trump speeches, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I get up, I give the speech, and it's a hardline speech. I start talking about the masks and how hardline I'm against the mask. Anyway, So I walk off the podium, and I'm noticing that the hosts are interviewing all the other speakers, but they're not interviewing me. They're not even talking to me. They're shunning me. But, whatever, that's fine. So I left, and I'm driving home, with my buddy, and my phone is exploding with text messages. And people are saying, Tony, we're watching it. And within the first couple of minutes, they cut you off.
Right Side Media did that?
Yeah, and they sent me a link. It's on our Instagram page. And they sent me a link to the speech. And the minute I said, ban the damn masks, I said, just like that.
Yeah.
They turn the camera away from me. They start talking over me. And the guys go, the reason why you're not hearing the speaker right now is because he's violating some sort of agreement that we have with our hosts. And we can't afford to lose our hosting company that's hosting our
When you say the host, you're talking about the internet company that's putting Right Side on
us. Yes. And we depend on the funds that we get from our advertising with that platform. And they cut me, they censored me, and I went online and blasted them. I'll send you that as well. But
I'd like to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for your viewers and your listeners to get a sense of our fight and the history of it, they can go to our Instagram page, which is Basilico's HB. The restaurant, I'll say it now. You and I talked about it earlier, Basilico's Pasta y Vino in Huntington Beach. But Basilico's HB, if you post that, they'll get some great entertainment. They'll see a fighting style that will entertain them, and they'll get a kick out of because we try to mock everybody that we possibly can. We taunt and flout the mandates and punch them every chance that we get. So,
is this a website?
Instagram is just Instagram. You've heard Instagram. Instagram. Yeah, Instagram.
HB.
Basilico. So if they go to Instagram, the username is Basilico's HB. Basilico's HB. Basilico's Huntington Beach.
Oh, Huntington Beach. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I just, what I want from this is I'm thinking, what do we get for, this exposure, and we want a response. We want you to feel like you've got allies everywhere, not just people who say, thank you, you're so great, but here's what we're going to do because of what your example is showing.
I think that'd be amazing. Right. I think what would be really cool is whoever's listening to you, maybe they could document something that they're doing and send it to me. And, if they want to come and sit with me at the restaurant and have a glass of wine or pasta and talk to me about what their situation,
I think
I'll talk to everybody. Right. Yeah. I'll talk to anybody.
And if they want to see you, they have to show up there Friday or Saturday night, I guess. Right.
Mm-hmm. No. If they call the restaurant and they leave a message, the guys will give it to me and I'll get in touch with them and we can set something up.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I can get on the phone with them. I can meet them in person, whatever it takes.
If they want to send you a video of what they do in response.
Sure. Or they can send it to you, or they can send it to you and you can forward it to me. That's fine.
Okay. Too. I'll do that. I'll do that. And what about finances? Is there a point of raising money for this whole project, or is that irrelevant at this point?
No, I don't, you know, I don't like to ask to ask for anything. I think people who, I think if people just do their part, that's enough. I mean, you know, the people that come to the restaurant, when they come, they feel like they're part of the battle. They feel like they're part of the movement. So it really inspires them just to be there. Inspires us too. They always leave after making brand new friends, and they feel good about it. So it's a very special place.
It seems like there should be a network of not only, first of all, restaurants that go along with the model that you're setting up, and they do it in whatever city in the country that they're located in. But not just restaurants, it should spread to other businesses as well.
Yeah, I mean, our website, it clearly says that it's intended for all businesses.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then not just restaurants.
The general public should follow suit in the same spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to keep thinking about what we can do to get the response that we're after as fast as possible. And maybe we can stay in touch. And anytime that something happens that's worth sharing with the audience, I hope you'll feel free to come back.
That would be great. I would love it. I enjoyed it.
I hope so. I hope I didn't bore you or anything.
You're great. No, you ask great questions for sure. I've interviewed with a lot of people, and your questions are poignant. They're right on the money. Yeah, and I'm going to send you some stuff too that you can.
Please do. Yes. Any of us that are aware of what's going on, and you know, you've helped me personally see that. All these, I'm working in a lot of different areas right now because there's so many things that need to be corrected. But you really showed me the value of the single-pointed priority, you know, freedom, not just because it's America, but because the founding documents in America that explain the number one priority of freedom specifically said it's for people all over the world. So wherever people are listening from, they need to do the same thing.
And that's, like I said, they were all watching us. People around the world are watching us.
They are. Remember, before China recently invaded Hong Kong again and is taking it over, before that really got started, people in Hong Kong were showing more American patriotism than the people in America. They were coming up with signs saying we love America. And
how sad is it? I saw that. So it's they love our country and they want to be like us. But I think how they've seen how we've responded this time, it's kind of let them down.
Yeah, we need to turn that around because people in communist China, people in North Korea, people in Iran living under the theocracy there, they all have exactly the same rights.
That's right. I'm in agreement there, 100%. You're right.
Neat. Yep. Okay, well, I want everybody to be inspired into action by you, not just into saying, wow, what you're doing is great, you know, but, you know, that's nice to say, but the way you really say it is change what you're doing.
Yes. Huh. Yeah, get up tomorrow. It's a brand new day.
Yeah.
And be brave. Be brave like our founders. Be brave. Like the men and women who fought and died for this country.
Be like, you know, what you imagine they used to be like, right?
Be an American. I tell people, you know, I say this all the time, you're American, act like it.
Yeah, that would stand out and it would start waking other people up to do the same
thing. You're an American, act like it. Simple as that.
Yeah. Okay, so we got our work cut out for us.
We do.
Hold on and we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Okay, thank you.
So there goes Tony Roman, you guys, the owner of Basilico's Restaurant in Huntington Beach, California, where he's invited everybody to come join him and see him and talk to him. And if you're actually going to be going to California, if you don't already live in California, he said, call and leave a message. And as you heard on the recording that we actually got permission to use from Basilico's don't push the button that says leave a death threat. Push the other button that says make a reservation. And if they're busy, which they usually are, because I've called there before, just leave a message that you're coming to visit and when you'll be there and things like that. Just the main kind of support that Tony wants, from my understanding, is for all of us to incorporate the same spirit in our daily lives, not antagonistically. He's very polite to the people that he is talking to when he's not complying, but he's spreading the awareness of, or the memory, I should say, of America being a country founded on the principle of individual freedom, not the fake idea of the good of the whole, whereby you give up all your individual God-given rights and do whatever you're told to follow orders. Even in a real situation, if the pandemic was real, which could happen at any time, it's still your rights come from God, and they're what's called inalienable or unalienable. I don't actually know which one is a better term, but not revocable in times of emergency. So you just have them all the time. You have them no matter where you live. You have the same God-given rights in communist China and North Korea, in any other country around the world, in Africa, South America, anywhere in North America where they're quickly being eroded. They're not alienable. You can't lose them. Governments can forget that you have them or hope that you forget, but you don't lose them. And he wants that spirit to come back and for people to drop fear. And I totally agree with that. And he's saying it helps to get over fear by remembering what you're actually living for, you know, not trying to just weasel around restrictions and regulations and things like that and imply that they're valid, because if they impinge on God-given natural rights, they're not valid. And he's not just saying that as another person with a bunch of talk. He's doing it in amazing ways that are so foreign to what people have gotten used to now that he says not one business that he knows of has followed his example. And he's been doing it for a long time, all through the lockdowns. Not one business, right? So I think what he'd like to see come out of the show is not people saying, wow, that's inspiring. Or, I mean, some might say he's crazy. I don't think our listeners would think he's crazy. They think he was inspiring and then just go back to whatever they were doing, especially for business owners, restaurants, and other businesses. He's saying, what you do matters. Demonstrate what you believe in. You know, not indoctrinating somebody else to make them say they agree. Demonstrate it in the character and courage that your actions come from. And I'm talking to myself too. We all need to listen to that and make the time that he gave us to do the show worthwhile. It wasn't supposed to be entertainment. Okay, so self-assessment, see where you are now, how integrated with character or hypocritical our own life actions are, and fix them where necessary. I think that's what he would want us to do. That's about it, except for his website, I should mention, and his Instagram. The Instagram is instagram.com/basilicos, BASILICOSHB, which stands for Huntington Beach. That's the city in California where they're located. And if you go there, you'll see his Instagram. You can stay in touch that way. And he's also got a site with a lot of video and other information on it called Make Restaurants, plural, greatagain.com. And it's for all kinds of businesses. And it, again, it's supposed to not just be a spectator site or an entertainment site. It's supposed to give us the memory of what America was supposed to demonstrate for the rest of the world. You know, certainly not just for Americans. That was the whole point of what the founders put in the Declaration and other founding documents, is that it doesn't, your rights are not determined by where you live. It was a unique idea to start a country that was based on acknowledging that. But if you're not happening to be born in America this time, and you're in Canada, or you're in South Africa, or you're in North Korea, or you're in Russia or China or South America or anywhere, Australia, that declaration was talking about your rights, irrespective of where you might live. And I think we're being asked to make the transition between the spectator mode, oh, that's interesting, or that's inspiring, or wow, I think he's actually right, to, okay, so what are you going to do? And you don't have to go out and make some big earth-shaking demonstration necessarily, but just the stuff that you're being asked to relate to in your day-to-day life, make sure that's in line with what you really value. You know, if you're a certain philosophy or a certain religion or certain group, what are your ideals? You know, like the ideal of treating others, you know, as loving them as if they were yourself, or showing that you're devoted to something higher, love of God and spirit, and the things that are ideals that we're not supposed to just worship from a distance, but you're supposed to become a demonstration of that. That was, I think, the whole point of the show, you know, which can easily be forgotten unless we take it seriously and say, how can we be more respectful and kind to other people and help them mostly by example, not by telling them to change, but if they see you, they should just get inspired. And it's something we can all start working for right now, I would say. So that's about it. This has been our Sunday show. We have incredible people coming on every week, and really blessed to be able to interact with some of these incredible individuals. And then on Saturday, we have Lost Arts Radio Live, which is related to current events. All this stuff is ending up related to current events, I guess, but that's what the specific purpose of Lost Arts Radio Live is. That's every Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Pacific U.S. time, 7:30 Eastern, and then a half hour after it's over. We have Planetary Healing Club, which you can access at planetaryhealingclub.com. And that's if you want to go farther into it and start looking at how you can transform your own life. That's what we were just talking about. Everything from physical health to consciousness and everything in between. You know, being an example of what you believe instead of just reciting it. And you can also support us on our sites if you have the resources to do that and you want to see us be able to do our projects and stay on the air and all that. Go to lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button there. And at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And also, it's a good way to keep in touch with where we're on the air, where we're live streaming, where the recorded videos are, because it could change, you know, due to free speech sites or censorship sites that change moment to moment. And if we disappear from some of those, we'll show up other places and you can stay in touch that way. So I think that's about it. I think I remembered everything to tell you. Got the website, makerestaurantsgreatagain.com. Really educational site. Supposed to inspire businesses and individuals to live up to what Tony's talking about and take it farther. Send him video of what you did. He really wants to inspire everybody, which I think is great. So have a great week. Take care of yourself. Remember that the influence of what you become and demonstrate just by being who you are is unlimited power. And let it flow through you. And start whenever you want, no matter what we've done up to now. Mistakes we made in the past are over. So start now and see what you can do. And we'll see you here next time.